The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Monday, July 21st, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimball of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, senators may vote tomorrow on a cloture motion that would allow consideration of a bill to increase staffing at the CFTC. And the Farm Bureau says USDA is moving too slowly to implement the Farm Bill. We'll have these and other stories this half hour. And the folks from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will give us the latest on conditions across the corn and soybean belts. It's all on the Monday edition of your Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
Monday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. September wheat, 823 down 14 and 3 quarters. December, 847 down 11 and 3 quarters. At the Board of Trade, September wheat, 791 down 13. December, 814 and 3 quarters, down 13 and 3 quarters. March of 2009, 838 down 13 and a half. September corn, 589 and a quarter, down 20 and a quarter. December, 608 and a quarter, down 20 and a quarter. March of 2009, 627 and three quarters, down 20. May, 640, down 19 and three quarters. August beans, 1409 and a half, down 60 and a half. September, 1405, down 53 and a half. November, 1403, down 45. January of 2009, 1419 and three quarters, down 44. August soybean meal, 377, down 1930. August soybean oil, 59.91, down 218. August live cattle, 98.50, up 10. Make it up 100. And August feeders, 114.65, up 77.5. And those are today's settlements in Chicago and in Kansas City. Taking a look at outside markets for you, August crude oil, 130.25, up 137. September, 131.10, up 163. August ethanol settling at 237.3, down 4.4. September, 234.7, down 5.2. August RBOB, 323.40, is up 6.31. September, 325.40, is up 6.36. August heating oil at 376.50 is up 7.35. August propane, no trade there today. In the silver contract, September settling at 18.42.5 is up 22.5. July gold had a settlement price. Well, no trade there, but the August contract, a settlement price of 963.70, up 5.70 on the day. The U.S. dollar at 72.022 is down a smidge over 15 cents. The CRB at 427.54 is up 37. And the S&P 500 at 1257.77 is down 2.91. Daniel Pounder tells us tonight in northern sections across the two-state region, it will be partly cloudy in central and southern sections, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows ranging from 60 in the north to 72 in the south tomorrow. In northern sections, partly to mostly sunny. In central sections, a chance of morning showers and thunderstorms, then partly sunny in the south, periods of showers and thunderstorms, and highs ranging from 77 in the north to 88 in the south. Wind speed northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour, and a minimum afternoon relative humidity of 50 to 60%. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, we had a follow-through from last week's, bearish tone isn't the only way to put it. And, boy, it followed through with force today.
Yeah, we saw negative price action from the opening bell last night to the close this afternoon here. And technical selling, fund liquidation going into midday. Funds sold upward towards 14,000 contracts of beans, over 22,000 contracts of corn. So they continue to transfer the long ownership to someone else. Basically, in the corn side of the equation, the funds held a long futures contract or long position of about 600,000 contracts for some time. They got up to a little over 650,000 there late last spring, but currently they're long about 500,000. So 22 off that, you know, we still got a long, long ways to go. Same thing in the beans. They're, until today, they were long about 230,000 contracts. Their last winter, they were long as much as 280,000 contracts, or a lot more liquidation to occur. We're in a situation where we're below the moving averages. If you're a technical follower, the trend is officially down, and so until we get some type of change in trend, they're probably going to continue to be a seller here over some time. Fundamentally, this afternoon's crop conditions report is expected to show a 1-2% improvement in the conditions. Fundamentally, you look at the near-term weather here. We've got some moisture across the Midwest. The only real concern right now in the trade's eyes is the Delta. They've been warm and dry and going to stay that way. This afternoon, 6-10 day and 8-14 day did suggest above normal temperatures and below normal precip, but that's going to have to kick in fairly quickly here to give the trade reason to be a buyer here.
You look at the technicals, and it certainly is a lot of technical selling going on, so let's go to the charts. You go to the December chart, Kurt, and you see an uptrend line through the January and March lows that touches the market probably in the current time frame around 478, 480-ish in that area. You think that's an area that this corn market can hold?
Well, in the December contract, we believe psychological, maybe the 6580 area can hold. Basically, this is the level we were at just on the raw demand news before we got into the weather concern, the flooding and so forth, so we're back to where demand took us to. If we can't hold there, we could quickly drop to $5 fairly quickly. The main concern, continues, though, is the funds. They don't care, what the fundamental news is. When they start getting sell signals like this, they'll continue to pressure the market. Bean-wise, right here, 14. If 14 don't hold, we'll probably every 50 cents, 13.5 down to 13, if not 12.50.
Yeah, the August soybean contract pretty much stopping right on its 100-day moving average today and wondering what might be just below that market.
You draw trend lines on the chart, you look at your moving averages, we're below it, and, there's nothing real bullish there. We're just going to need a good old-fashioned reversal, give the trade some confidence to come back and be a buyer. Fundamentally, beans is probably in the best position to get something going here down the road. You look at the overall picture out in the countryside on beans, there's concerns out there. Wheat harvest came off late. A lot of guys planned on putting some double crop beans in. That did not materialize in a large portion of the Midwest. So we're going to get down to the point that harvested acres might not be as high as what the USDA indicated. Also, too, the overall demand is probably underestimated a little bit. So beans is probably in a position here where we could see them start to take over leadership here, especially as we get into August and see this heat and dryness move in through the Midwest.
Does corn have a fundamental story to tell at this point or not?
Well, a lot of little things that could develop into big things. And what I mean by that is the harvested acres number. Last report's probably a little high on harvested acres. But in return, you're going to have to see yield go up. The crop is a little bit better looking, but when you start lowering harvested acres, you're taking away the bad acres. That's not going to be harvested, so yields going to have to go up. So how that all equals out, that's what's going to make this August crop report very, very important, as it is one of our first actual surveys that they give to us.
Yeah, and maybe more so than other years because of the flooding, confusing just what we might have out there.
Then lastly, too, on the corn fundamentals that you mentioned is demand. Demand's in question. Ideas, we've overestimated demand, from the ethanol side, from the export side. Then lastly, on feed demand, we continue to find that producers on the livestock side has moved to feeding DGGs, the byproduct of ethanol, quite heavily. They backed off an overall true feed use on corn, so therefore that feed use category is probably overestimated too.
Which goes again to the issue that USDA really needs to put a DDG number on tap for us to keep track of.
That would probably clear up a lot of the numbers there on feed use, because feed use in general is a miscellaneous category, and the number you're talking about can be actually tracked out of the ethanol plant.
What about your weed analysis today?
Well, wheat's sort of a following through here. Traditionally, as we get in this time window, we wrap up harvest. We start to see seasonal lows take hold in the wheat market. We feel there's been quite a bit of spreading take place between wheat and corn, wheat and beans. Overall, positive thing on the wheat is now we should start to see basis narrow up dramatically. Producers really took it on the chin in some areas on very, very wide basis. So we look for the biggest bang in the grain sector to be in the cash wheat market over the next 30 to 45 days.
Why will it narrow?
Because the end users aren't covered. Everybody's had their hands in their pockets, and we see demand coming forward here to capture some good U.S. wheat.
Turn your attention to CME Livestock. What are your thoughts there?
The export, the weak dollar has really helped our livestock exports on the meat side. We've seen a lot of interest, especially from Asia. We look for that demand to continue here. We feel that the livestock market is the next one to take hold here as we go through the rest of 2008 into 2009. We've seen some liquidation on the livestock side. With overall strong demand, we feel that livestock values are going to hold strong as we go into late summer.
Thank you much, Kirk.
Very good.
Kirk Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He joins us every Monday afternoon on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, the Senate could vote tomorrow on a cloture motion that would allow senators to take up a bill that would increase the staffing level at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. The bill would also reduce the number of energy futures contracts an investor could own. The measure, sponsored by Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, is intended to curb speculation in the energy markets. Reid says that excessive speculation is one of the key reasons why gasoline prices have spiked over $4. But Reid may not get the 60 votes he needs. Other members of Reid's Democrat majority remain unconvinced the bill will lower gasoline prices, and Republicans are unhappy that Reid is not allowing amendments to the measure. The nation's largest farm group says USDA is dragging its heels on implementation of the new farm bill. Stuart Doan reports.
American Farm Bureau Director of Public Policy Mary Kay Thatcher predicts it'll be mid-2009 before the Food Conservation and Energy Act of 2008 is fully implemented.
When you think about the big ticket items of the ACRE program and the disaster programs, USDA is projecting to us that at best it will be next April. I think that actually, unless some things change, is maybe even going to be optimistic.
According to Thatcher, that's because implementation activity will grind to a halt while the next president gets his political team at USDA in place. But Thatcher told Arkansas farmers what worries Farm Bureau most is that Ag Secretary Ed Schaefer and his deputy Chuck Connor
have suggested to the career people at USDA that if in the Farm Bill legislation there was not pretty explicit instructions about how they would write a particular regulation, that they ought to fall back to the purple book, which is what they called the administration's proposal. And obviously it wasn't anything that we were very crazy about.
Thatcher said USDA's writing of rules governing subsidy eligibility would receive close scrutiny from Farm Bureau. I'm Stuart Doan reporting.
The long-running Doha round of World Trade Talks resumes today in Geneva. At least 30 key trade ministers are attempting to negotiate a breakthrough on agricultural tariffs. The round has been stymied largely due to disagreements about how to liberalize agricultural trade. Last Friday, Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin and 16 other ag panel members sent President George Bush a letter saying a successful world trade deal must provide new export opportunities that are, quote, comparable in magnitude to any farm subsidy cuts. Anything less will not receive our support. India is pushing the U.S. to cap farm subsidies at about $7 billion a year, roughly the size of current U.S. outlays. The working WTO text calls for the U.S. to cap subsidies between $13 and $16.4 billion a year. USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says a plan to allow early release of CRP acres this growing season without penalty would be dead if USDA receives an adverse ruling on a new haying and grazing program. A federal judge issued a temporary injunction stopping the program, calling a required environmental study conducted by USDA a joke. The judge gave USDA and the plaintiffs, the National Wildlife Federation, until tomorrow to reach a settled solution. Colorado Cattlemen's Association spokesman Terry Fankhauser says the land is needed now.
You know, when you think about it, any little bit helps, and in this case, any little bit was kind of everything to a lot of producers to keep from having to send the cows to market. It might have got them through till the what we call monsoons in Colorado come in, and really I think was critical in keeping us from sending a lot of cattle to auction.
The program would have allowed hang and grazing on up to 24 million acres of CRP land after bird nesting season is over. Meanwhile, Kansas Representative Jerry Morin has introduced legislation that would override the court. Morin says the court action is short-sighted and harmful. Argentina President Cristina Fernandez Friday repealed a tax hike on soy exports. Export levies on grains and oilseeds will return to fixed rates that were in place before Fernandez used an executive order to impose a sliding scale. The European Union is proposing a $1.6 billion two-year emergency fund to help poor countries cope with escalating food prices. The EU says the fund will help mostly African nations. The fund comes from unspent cash in this year's EU farm budget. If approved by EU governments and the European Parliament, dollars would flow to agencies like the World Food Program and the International Red Cross to boost the supply of fertilizer and seeds to increase the planting of crops. Meanwhile, the French president of the EU is proposing new measures to ensure the push for biofuels does not cause major increases in food prices. The French proposal directs the European Commission to devise corrective action if it finds that biofuel production has a significant effect on global food prices. The French plan would also give a special bonus to biofuels made from plants grown on land that can't be used for agriculture. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Joining us now with a look at the cash grain analysis is Brian Stark of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I imagine that that folks who own corn and beans are not doing any pricing with futures collapsing like they have over last week and then again today. So let's spend a little time with wheat, and let me ask you what your expectations for basis there are over the next 3 to 4 weeks.
I think it depends on the demand and whether wheat can be incorporated into feed rations, because right now it's a class issue. Soft red wheat, we have plenty of it in the United States. We have plenty of it in the world based on good harvests, and the reason the basis is so wide is because there's not a strong demand for it. Now, if the export demand were to pick up, I think basis would get better, but yet again, it's weaker at the Gulf here today in the tune of the 160 to 170 under range under the SIF market. So until that demand picks up and or it becomes cheaper than corn, and with this break on the board, the movement on the board in corn hasn't helped wheat incorporate itself into the feed rations. So until something changes, the basis is going to remain wide.
Does wheat actually have to go under corn or be close to?
I think it just has to be close to it in pricing itself into the equation. And for standpoint of a nutritional value, it may even have to be a little bit under it. But I would say it just has to become closer to it with this wider basis for farmers to want to incorporate into some of their diets. And I think that could happen in the short term. But the board in corn has to rally and start to surge again before we can get wheat cheap enough for people who want to feed it.
Certainly that weak basis continues to be a point of contention with lawmakers and more hearings in Washington about convergence. What are your thoughts there, and is there anything that could be done without too much involvement of the lawmakers?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, some people have talked about raising the storage rates. I don't know how much impact that will have. I think it's just a matter of time before the government decides to look into it a little more in depth, and maybe they have to put some sort of a speculative control in it to make that convergence work a little bit better. The storage systems broke along the river, and that could be part of the reason, but obviously it's an issue that's going to have to be continued to be investigated because it has shown some concern.
Meanwhile, this futures break in prices probably has elevator operators and owners smiling. They're probably getting some relief from margin calls, I would imagine.
Sure. Yeah. Obviously, it's been good for the commercial grain industry to relax just a little bit, but at the same time, it's also good for the overall health of the market. Demand, while rationed, will not be totally destroyed, and I think that's the main thing we've heard in the last week or so as we've watched the board break. The livestock guy is starting to feel a little bit better. Maybe it's not ideal, but he's feeling a little less pain, and over the course of time, the commercial grain industry's benefit, but also some of these the livestock producers, the end users, they're benefiting as well, and that's only good for the overall health of the market in the longer term.
Let's get your prices today.
551 cash corn, new crop corn is 563, cash soybeans 1404, new crop beans 1323, and cash wheat is 621.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
Brian Stark of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Remember, you can subscribe to all of our podcasts. Go to WILLAG.org. It's Junk Food Day. What constitutes junk food is often in the eye of the beholder. What constitutes unhealthy food includes elements of cultural influences, class snobbery, and moral judgment, and of course, quantitative measurements such as calories. On this day in agricultural history in 1694, George Brandt was born. Brandt, a Swedish chemist, discovered cobalt, which is added to steel to make it harder and have a higher melting point. Cobalt is also an essential part of vitamin B12. In 1873, it rained ants in Nancy, France. In 1917, the U.S. Senate voted on a food bill that, among other things, fixed the minimum price for wheat of $1.50 a bushel. In 1983, a new low record temperature was recorded at Vostok Station, Antarctica, minus 128.6 degrees Fahrenheit. And in 2006, the U.S. Senate voted after 2 days of emotional debate to expand federal funding of embryonic stem cell research, sending the measure to President George Bush for a promised veto. And that's this day in agricultural history. Listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Josh Darr of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Josh.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing?
I am doing tremendous on a Monday, filling
good.
In for Todd all this week, looking good, sounding good. let's go ahead and look at the weather, which also appears to be favorably good for crop development for the next couple of weeks.
At least, it sure does. And certainly as we're entering the pollination window here across the heart of the Corn Belt, and it's a little late this year, but the majority of the Midwest, particularly Iowa, the northern two-thirds of Illinois and Indiana, that whole kind of core production of corn looks to be protected from any damaging heat here during the pollination window over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. So somewhat frequent showers at times in the next 2 weeks, but no 95-degree or above heat across Iowa, the heart of Illinois, or Indiana. Now, further south, across far southern Illinois, southern Indiana, you get into the northern Delta region, you can start to debate there will be periods of 95 and above temps. But for the core of the belt here, it looks like pretty seasonable weather and good weather for pollinating corn.
So some dry areas, perhaps west and south of the Missouri River, and then maybe on the western fringe?
That's exactly right. If you go to Nebraska, you go to Kansas, you go to Missouri, and then into far southern Illinois, those are the areas that will see periods of heat, 95-plus here over the next 10 days at times. And then you probably trim some yields as a result of that heat in those areas.
Down in the Delta, they did need rain. Looks like they're going to get some.
Well, I think that's actually a little debatable here. Model guidance has kept going for rainfall here in the Delta, but it fails to verify here and there and again, and they've been running very dry as of late, and we don't see anything really to change that pattern fundamentally. Now, there is Tropical Storm Dolly in the Gulf of Mexico. However, that's going to be making landfall in southern Texas, and the moisture associated with Dolly will be moving into west Texas and the desert southwest, so no relief for the Delta from the tropics, at least at this point.
So you're looking for net drying there.
Yeah, net drying for the next 10 days to 2 weeks across the Delta and pretty good heat, too.
Then I guess, by comparison, the southeastern states must be a little bit wetter than the Delta.
Yes, you will see some more scattered garden variety thunderstorms over the next 10 days in the southeast. However, you know, net normal, I think the southeast, too, you have to put in a bit of a drier than normal regime here through the end of the month of July.
What are you looking at globally?
Globally, you know, it's remarkable. Things are rather quiet for here the last 10 days of July. China's in good shape. The FSU's in great shape. Wheat harvesting's progressing in Europe here. There's some delays earlier in the month. That's picking up speed. It's rather quiet on the global front right now.
Yes, it is. Thanks very much, Josh.
Thanks, Dave.
Josh Darr of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the Audio Analysis tab. This is Dave Dickey.